Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, as very high levels of flu continue to circulate in the community and acute hospitals face increasing pressure to deal with the surge in cases, are we getting close to the peak of this flu season? Well, for more, I'm joined now in the studio by Dr. Colm Henry, who's Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE. Colm, thank you for coming in this morning. Will we just go through the numbers first? Because we did hear over the weekend that the cases are expected to peak this week. So where are we at? What's the picture?
Well, the number of people who are sick in hospital with flu this morning is 748. So we're beginning to see a slight drop, which is what we'd expect. However, the number of cases out in the community are still at very high levels, over 3,300 for the week up to last Saturday. And what we expect to see is those cases peaking sometime around this week. But ongoing pressures, it doesn't just stop suddenly. The cases drop gradually. In any one flu season, we expect 10 to 15% of the population to get flu. And of course, that flu will find its way through to some people who are vulnerable and will become quite sick with it. And that includes children. Last year, for example, we had over 1,000 children hospitalised with influenza.
Is this a particularly nasty dose this year?
What we're seeing is every season brings a circulating variant of flu. And this season, we're seeing what's called the AH1 variant. And that really hasn't been the predominant strain since the winter or season of 2018, 19 or 15, 16.
Just pre-COVID, really?
Pre-COVID. In recent years, and COVID brought its own disruption to virus seasons. For some years after, we saw the RSV season come in higher and more severe. Now we're seeing the RSV season again resume its pre-pandemic type of pattern. But for influenza, we had the AH3 variant the past few years, and this AH1 is something we haven't seen certainly for a few years. Might explain, because in previous seasons we saw more people sick with it, maybe more people admitted to ICU and more young people sick, and that might explain the surge in cases we're seeing now in terms of presentations to hospital.
And is the vaccine that we're currently using, is it able to deal with this variant?
Vaccines are never 100% effective, and we know from previous seasons of AH1, one of the earliest seasons, 15-16, the analysis, which is usually done after the season, found the vaccine to be moderately effective, while the winter of 2018-19, it was more effective. And you never really know until the end of the season when the different European agencies pool their data and look at the efficacy of in terms of preventing flu. But regardless of, and there'll be some seasons when the vaccine is very effective and others when it's less so. But regardless, we see vaccine as essential in terms of preventing illness among vulnerable people. But we also see it as part of a multi-layered approach to prevention that must include what we call infection prevention control, all that etiquette about hand washing, cough etiquette and so on.
And people staying at home when they're sick.
Most importantly, yes.
Who in the main is having to go to hospital with this?
We're seeing what we call bimodal distribution. So we're seeing about 43% of hospitalizations are aged over 65, but 17.5%, almost 18% are aged less than 5. And as I said, last flu season, Claire, we saw a lot of children sick in hospital, which is why we encourage parents to consider the LAI vaccine. It's free, easy to take, a nasal vaccine for age 2 and 17. Our uptake this year has been disappointing, to be honest, at about 17%.
Across the board?
Across, particularly among children, we would have hoped to see higher figures. And among healthcare workers, certainly we would like to have done better.
Well, I see the schools are getting in touch now this morning with parents saying that there's going to be vaccination clinics set up, both locally and in the schools themselves. So it's not too late then, is it, to get the vaccine?
It's not too late. And it does take 2 weeks for the vaccine to become effective. So people must bear that in mind. You don't get the vaccine and walk out and feel that you're immune. It doesn't mean that you forget about the other infection prevention and control measures, because of course they're equally important, because the vaccine won't prevent every case of the flu. So, and you said yourself there, the most important one is if you're sick, you must stay at home and avoid contact with vulnerable people, and don't, for God's sake, visit hospitals or nursing homes if you're sick.
So let's talk about then how this is impacting hospitals, because we did hear yesterday Sligo had cancelled some of their elective procedures. And I know your aim in the HSE is to avoid that scenario, but it does seem to happen every year that we have a wave of some sort of respiratory illness, whether it's COVID, whether it's flu, and you end up in this position where you're having to cancel other stuff.
well, we're not unique in that regard. If you look across the whole of Western Europe and mature healthcare systems, is they deal with surges of respiratory viruses every year. And some of this they can predict and some of this they can't, because the strain, some of it will depend on the strain of the virus. We haven't seen a surge of COVID-19, for example. So what we're seeing right across Western Europe is people shift focus of healthcare systems towards people who are acutely ill with influenza particularly, and we're seeing the same strain in the UK, a different strain in the United States, mm-hmm. and we're seeing people a shift emphasis towards prevention and protecting vulnerable cohorts, namely older people, those with chronic disease, and very young children. So we're no different in that regard.
But again, as I say, what you want to do is avoid having to cancel elective procedures. But we're there now, aren't we, in some of our hospital facilities?
Yes, and it's factored into winter planning that around the Christmas period, we shift our focus towards urgent and emergency care, and we don't schedule, in the first instance, many hospitals will not schedule elective procedures around the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. Secondly, in response to surges of presentation of ill people, they will cancel, defer and subsequently reschedule what are non-time critical. What's urgent for people, or what's important for people to understand and to reassure people out there, for all time critical conditions, whether they're medical, stroke or heart attack, or whether they're surgical, particularly cancer surgery, for example, they're going ahead. We do not suspend time critical activities.
Yes, but it is the elective procedures, which is very inconvenient for people who have plans around it. In some cases, have been cancelled. Now, Alan Watts, a consultant in emergency medicine, I'm sure you know all about him. He's at UHL, but he's also involved in the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine. He said last week that they need more capacity, but specifically isolation capacity. And he says that will require using private hospitals. Are you at that stage yet? Is it something that you're considering?
Yes, we do. As I said, we're putting a huge focus this particular season, not just in vaccines, but in infection prevention and control. Because what we find is, and people will know this from the pandemic times, when there's high levels of community transmission of a virus, that increases the risk of secondary outbreaks in healthcare settings, which is why we encourage people not to visit, for example. So outbreak management is very important. In the week leading up to last Saturday, we saw about 80 outbreaks in different healthcare facilities, many of them in acute hospitals and many of them in nursing homes. What we also saw is that the great majority were small, self-contained, which is a tribute to the hard work of our infection prevention control teams in hospitals, mm-hmm. making sure they identify cases, they cohort people together and they find isolation.
Do you agree with Alan Watts then that you need more isolation capacity?
Well, we need more capacity, that's for sure. And part of the government's plan, the outgoing government's plan, was for an additional 3,500 acute beds up till the year 2030. So in addition to the beds we've developed since before the pandemic times, which number about 1,200, we need more capacity. And included in that is capacity for isolation facilities and, of course, mm-hmm. capacity for rehabilitation for older people, because we're seeing a rise, a 35% rise in those aged over 75 presenting to emergency departments since 2019 alone. So much of our healthcare has to shift its focus towards the needs of older people.
Now, the INMO says that we need a national emergency plan to deal with this overcrowding. They say it happens every year. It's not a surprise. What do you say to that?
What I would say is that our lived experience right through the Christmas period is we're living through a national emergency management system. The CEO of the HSE, myself, and all the regional executive officers, the leads of the health region, are on the phone examining every hospital, every day, every single available community facility, every person who's waiting over 24 hours, over 75 hours, every unused private hospital capacity. We're interrogating hospitals on the presence of the senior decision makers on discharges. And the fruits of that show is, despite all these extra presentations we're seeing the last year, and it's inconvenient, more than inconvenient, it's unsafe for people to be on trolleys for long periods of time, but we've seen reduction in the numbers of trolleys for 2024 compared to the previous year of about mm-hmm. 14,000.
But ultimately the bottom line is capacity shortage. You know, you can't put people in beds that aren't there.
We need more capacity, but we also have, what we've discovered the past couple of years is, by moving towards a 7/7 healthcare system where we discharge people every day of the week and facilitate our senior decision makers to make those, to enable those discharges through the availability of diagnostics and community facilities, that we can flex and get greater traction from the bed stock we have.
Mm-hmm. Now, the weather that we're experiencing at the moment, the front page of the Irish Independent today says it's going to put more pressure on already overcrowded hospitals. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing seeing more people coming in with trips and falls, and perhaps the discharges are delayed because people can't get through the roads to get out.
Yes, it has caused disruption to flow of patients through hospitals. So if you look at in severe weather, what happens is sometimes we have difficulty getting patients home. And sometimes we have difficulty getting staff in. And I just want to acknowledge, Claire, if I could, in the programme, the work of voluntary agencies and civil defence and the army in supporting some of the worst affected areas. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do see that. But we also see sometimes when weather is extremely severe is a drop off in attendances, is that people sometimes defer coming in or avoid making contact with hospitals because they simply can't access hospitals.
Right. When it comes to flu and people who are feeling very unwell, when should they go to hospital? Because you don't want this thing to spread, but at the same time, you want people who are very sick to come in. So what are the benchmarks around that for people?
Well, a lot of it depends on the person involved. For the great majority of people, flu is, most people will recognise what flu is and don't need to be told the symptoms because of nearly, as I said, 10 to 15% of the population will get flu every season.
And you'll know it when you have it.
You know it when you have it. You know it's not a common cold. For the vast majority of people, it's a self-limiting illness of several days during which they feel miserable and during which they can stay at home, take paracetamol, ibuprofen, hot fluids and rest. And that works for the great majority of people. There are some people for whom it presents a significant threat, and that includes people as they get older, people with chronic disease, such as chronic lung disease, chronic kidney disease, chronic heart disease, and very young children. And for those who becomes quite ill, it's those people who need to access further opinions or further care through their GP or directly in the emergency departments if they're critically ill.
Okay, so they can make that call themselves, you're saying, with flu to go to an emergency department.
We're encouraging people to contact their GPs and pharmacists for advice. We're also encouraging people our GP, we've facilitated additional GP hours between 8, 9 in the morning, 5 and 7 in the evening and Saturday morning for hundreds of GP practices around the country. So that facility is there to enable same day or next day opinion should people need it.
People are getting in touch this morning asking where COVID is and all of this. And you did say a little earlier that we haven't seen a spike in COVID cases. Is that right?
That's true. COVID is not yet what we would call a seasonal virus, even though its transmission is facilitated by close contact between people and so on. It's a highly contagious virus, as people will know. But we have not seen, perhaps as the virus gets to know us and we get to know the virus, it has not yet assumed that kind of pattern that we see in influenza or RSV.
Right. I think it was Bernard Gloucester who said that we're going to see this peak now this week and then we might have a little dip but back up again. Is that what you're expecting?
What our experience shows is that we do reach a peak around this first or second week of January.
Yeah.
Then cases will continue to come through. But they're coming through to a very highly pressurised healthcare system, which makes it a little bit different before Christmas when so many people have been discharged from hospital. But we do see sometimes what we call a double spike. And that second spike can be caused by a number of reasons. One is the return of people to work or schools. And secondly, sometimes you get a wee bit of a kick from another strain of the influenza virus at the end of the season, an influenza B type, for example, we've seen in recent seasons. And all that is at the moment the great majority of the strains we're seeing are that AH1 variant that I described earlier.
Okay, Colm, thank you very much for coming in. That's Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE. We're going to be talking about the weather next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.